Welcome to the Truth and Liberty broadcast. We believe we have a mandate to bring godly change to our nation and the world through the seven spheres or mountains of influence. To further this cause, we give away a product every week that will empower you to get involved in changing your life and changing our world. You can register for our weekly giveaway by subscribing at truthandliberty.net. You can also subscribe to our newsletter to receive weekly updates on guests, news, and much more. This is an interactive live cast, and we welcome your questions. To ask a question during the live cast, use the comment or chat features. Now, get ready to dive into this week's topics with our hosts on location in Colorado, USA.
Hello, and welcome to our Monday night Truth and Liberty live cast. I'm Andrew Womack. I've got Richard Harris, our chief counsel, here with us, and we're with you every Monday night doing this. And tonight we have Tony Perkins with us. He is the president of the Family Research Council. I'll give him a little more introduction in a minute, but it's going to be great. And Tony, God is using him in some powerful ways, and he's really making an impact, and he knows what's going on. And so this is going to be a really informational broadcast. I think yeah. You'll be blessed. But Richard is going to share with you about how you can be involved. We've also got meetings coming up and just a number of things. So this is Richard Harris here.
Thank you, Andrew. Hello, everybody. It's such an honor for me to be here, and also just so excited about having Tony Perkins with us tonight. Love FRC. What a great organization. Wanted to share with you tonight that if you are not familiar with our website here at Truth and Liberty, it's a real resource. In fact, we have a whole page dedicated to information and resources that you can use to get knowledgeable, get equipped, get informed, equip others, and encourage you to check that out on our website. Also, Andrew mentioned some events. We've got a lot of great events coming up here in the spring and summer, including this week is Campus Days at Caris Bible College, one of the greatest events of the whole year for us. And you can come out with your family here and experience what it's like to be a Caris Bible College student with great Bible teaching and instruction by Andrew and Carrie Pickett, Barry Bennett, Greg Moore, who's one of the best Bible teachers around, and many others. So check that out on our website at awmi.net/events. Also coming up very soon, May 19th through the 22nd, is Kingdom Foundations. This is going to be a great conference where Bill Johnson and Dr. Randy Clark are going to be ministering along with Andrew. And it's going to be awesome, talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in the kingdom of God. And it's a conference you won't want to miss. After that, another Kingdom event, Kingdom Business Summit in June 16th and 19th, as we're going to be ministering on building God's kingdom in the mountain of business, and what a vital subject that is. And then Tony Perkins is with us tonight. We want to give a special emphasis on Stand Courageous. That's going to be June 19th here in Woodland Park at the Caris Bible College campus, as Tony and General Boykin are going to be here along with others ministering about the God's calling for men to become engaged and to stand up, to lead our families, to lead our businesses, and our culture in the Word of God and in righteousness. So that's going to be a powerful event.
And, you know, General Boykin was just with us last week teaching in the school, and he did our Truth and Liberty live cast last week. And he was telling us some about this. And General Boykin is just teaching on what it means to be a man. That's to have a general that has been in combat talking about this, it is powerful. We need leadership like that. So you need to be a part of this Stand Courageous.
Amen, amen. Especially in our culture where all the messages are trying to undermine God's role for men, God's role for women, you know, so important. Also, the Summer Family Bible Conference is scheduled for the first week of July, and it's going to be kicked off with the In God We Trust drama and musical performance. That it's a patriotic celebration unlike anything you've ever seen. I tell you, it'll get you on your feet, and there's flags and songs and celebration. It's fantastic. That's July 4th. Check that out again on our website at awmi.net/events. And it's going to be a great summer. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, if you're not a subscriber to Truth and Liberty, we want to invite you to do that. Just go on our website, the upper right-hand corner, click subscribe, and fill out your email there, and you'll be eligible to receive our emails and newsletters that we send out, where we're keeping our tens of thousands of subscribers updated and informed and equipped on a weekly, sometimes more often than not, basis. And if you subscribe tonight, you'll become eligible to receive a free product Every week we give one away. Last week we gave away Andrew's awesome book. You've already got it. And I want to congratulate Susan Lahota. I hope I said your name right, Susan, but you'll be getting an email from us on that. And this week's giveaway is Andrew's book, Effortless Change. And we were just talking before the live cast about the importance of God's Word. And Jesus said the Word of God is like a seed, and you plant that in the soil and water it, and the seed will do the rest. It will grow, but we've got to get God's Word in our heart. And so subscribe today and you'll be eligible to receive this awesome book.
You know, that's what I'm teaching on television right now, and I think this is my third week. And just in the last 2 weeks, we've had, I think it was 55,000 calls.
Wow.
Asking for this teaching. It's really hitting a nerve.
Wow, that's awesome. Praise God for that. Last, I just wanted to mention, well, not last, next to last, we are doing awesome things here. God is doing awesome things. I'm amazed at what He's doing. But we are able to do it because of the generosity of our members. And if you would like to support what God is doing here at Truth and Liberty, you can become a member. Just go on our website to the donate page and you can sign up to make a one-time gift or to be a member, sign up for a recurring contribution of at least $5 a month or more, and you'll become a Truth and Liberty member, and we'll send you a free gift in the mail. I think our gift right now is Alex McFarland's book on what's happening in America today. It's a powerful book. And just remember that your donations are not tax deductible in the eyes of the IRS. And last thing tonight is we have trained prayer ministers standing by. Please feel free to call in 719-635-1111, and a man or woman of God of faith and of the Word will agree with you in prayer. And with that, I'll kick it back to you, Andrew.
Okay, tonight our guest is Tony Perkins. He's become a great friend. I've been had the privilege to go out to their offices in Washington, D.C., and Tony is making a huge impact. I mean, it is one of the major groups of Christians that are making an impact. He has access to the president. I don't know about this new president, but in the past, he's had presidents that he's had their ear. He knows all of the leaders in Congress and the Senate. He's been the president of the Family Research Council since August of 2003. He served in the Louisiana House of Representatives before that. He's passed a lot of legislation here. He was appointed to the U.S. Commission on Internal Religious Freedom in 2018 and then reappointed in 2020 by Mitch McConnell. And anyway, he's just doing a lot of things. He's written books, No Fear, Real Stories of Courageous New Generation Standing for Truth. And he has a daily radio show, Washington Watch, and he interviews people. And so, Tony, welcome. We appreciate you taking time. I know that you just got through with a live cast just moments before we came on, and we really are honored that you would do this with us. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you and Richard and talk about some of these important issues. It's always great to be with you. Appreciate Truth and Liberty and the ministry you guys have all across this country. It's great to partner with you.
And you told us right before we went on air that you just had the governor of Georgia on your program, I think, twice in the recent history, talking about what's happening there in Georgia with this new voting law and the boycotts against it and things like that. And so, would you catch us up to date and give us some sense about what's happening? Because the two different sides are saying opposite things.
Yeah. Thanks so much. And I think Christians need to be very, very leery of what they hear in the news media today. I did have I had Governor Brian Kemp on my program earlier today on Washington Watch, which folks can actually listen to the archive at TonyPerkins.com. Had him on last week when the criticism first began. And it's been interesting, Andrew and Richard, that the Washington Post, which in many ways was kind of the campaign communication mechanism for the Biden campaign, even came out with four Pinocchios for the president saying he's a liar. Wow. He's lying.
Boy, when the Washington Post says that, that is significant.
Yeah.
It is very significant, but it's so blatant that even they cannot ignore what the president is saying. And he said, you know, this denies people water when they're voting. is not true. He said that this denies the working man the opportunity to vote and actually extends early voting, has two Saturday voting periods before the election, more than what the state of New York offers, more than what the president's own state, home state of Delaware, does. So, look, this is not about the bill. If they would have actually read it, it's about 99 pages. If they would have read the law, they would know. But they don't want to know because it doesn't fit their narrative. What they're concerned about is the issues that occurred in the November election, the constitutional irregularities that took place across the country, where you had election officials that were not empowered to do so, unilaterally changing election processes and creating the conflict that we had. Georgia was at the front and center of that, and they were a focal point of the election. And so they've gone back, rightfully so, as our founders envisioned it, and they're changing their system. Not unlike what when I was in the state legislature in Louisiana 20 years ago, we had an election fraud case. We went back, reformed our laws. One of the things that we did was we instituted a photo ID requirement to vote. Georgia, same thing. About 18 states have that at present. Georgia's not doing anything out of line. Here's the real concern, Andrew and Richard, is that the left is scared to death that because Georgia is at the focal, is really at the center of election reform, once they pass it, the 35 other states that are also looking at reform legislation will begin to pass it as well. And that is going to prevent the left from being able to manipulate the election outcomes. And they need to be able to have the narrative to pass H.R. 1, which is their federal takeover of elections. Mm-hmm. And to do that, they have to eliminate the legislative filibuster. So they have to call what Georgia is doing is Jim Crow on steroids. It's racist. It's all of these things that they're saying that they have to have in order to eliminate that legislative filibuster in the Senate.
So let me ask you, I heard a Democrat say that this law in Georgia closed the polls at 5 o'clock. They opened from 9 to 5, and therefore working people would not be able to vote. And from what I understand, that is just an absolute lie about what this whole law
is. And the president repeatedly said that as well. Here's what happens. In some rural counties in Georgia, you actually have election offices which are part-time. And so they changed the law to require that even these part-time election offices have to be open at least 8 to 5 during the early voting periods. So what they're actually doing is they're expanding access to the polls early for voters. And they're making it sound as if, oh, you're restricting. That's early voting. That's not election day. They still have election polls. The polls are open until 7 p.m. So they are doing more to expand access in this legislation than they previously had. But if you listen to the left and the woke corporate culture that is jumping on this, like Delta, Coca-Cola, and the Major League Baseball, you would think that they're doing something horrible. They're actually facilitating the participatory aspect that our republic demands.
Tony, is there any sincerity to what they're saying, or do they know that this is absolutely a false representation of what's happening?
You know, that's a really, really good question, Andrew, because I've actually asked that of my guest, because I hate to think that this is willful, but I'm left with really an understanding of how clear this is, that this is either A, willful ignorance, or it is a deceptive plot to undermine America's elections. And I hate to say it, but I think it's the latter.
Well, you know, if they made a mistake and just took what somebody said and repeated it, but then when the Washington Post comes out with four Pinocchios, that ought to get your attention. It seems like that they ought to quit saying it, but they seem to be doubling down on all of these accusations.
They're trying to scare people, and they've got their, you know, their allies in corporate America that is increasingly moving to the left. And of course, the hypocrisy there is astounding when you look at Major League Baseball, Coca-Cola, and some of these major companies that do business with China, even the president himself, he said, and it was his own words, that he supported Major League Baseball pulling out of Georgia. But yet, crickets when it comes to the U.S. pulling out of the Beijing Olympics in 2022, despite the fact his own Secretary of State acknowledging that genocide is taking place in China.
Well, and I'll jump in and say Major League Baseball just signed a contract with a Chinese company today. So this is getting a little bit incestuous, seems to me.
Well, the hypocrisy is unbelievable. And here's what I think they're counting on. Number one, I think they're counting on Americans being distracted by other things and not wanting to be disturbed in their patterns and routines. But Andrew, I think it's time that we, as Christians in America, disturb our patterns and that we change and we realize that we have an obligation and a responsibility to stand for truth. And part of that is as consumers. I tell you, I'm not drinking. One thing I like every now and then is a nice Diet Coke. Not anymore. I'm switching. I'll find something else, or I'll just have to go cold turkey. No more diet drinks. But the reality is, we have to vote with our dollars. As consumers, we have to hold these corporations accountable. I mean, I'm not going to be flying Delta. They have really weighed in on this in a big way. And consumers need to respond.
You know, I haven't been a big fan of boycotts because, 20 and 30 years ago, I had people criticize me for using a Holiday Inn to hold a meeting in because they had pornography channels on their television and on and on. And couldn't have functioned if I followed every boycott that I've been asked to do. But really, it is getting to a place that you can vote with your purchasing power, and that's about the only thing that some of these corporations, I think, are ever going to respond to.
I agree with you. I mean, I've never been a big advocate of the boycotts, but I will tell you that I'm not necessarily organizing a boycott. I'm not suggesting that. But what I am suggesting that as stewards, as Christians, we have to steward our resources. We have to steward our time. Mm-hmm. We have to steward all of these things. And for one, I am very careful about buying products that come from China. Mm-hmm. You're sitting on in the leadership of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. You know, I've looked at a lot of this data. I've been to many of these places, and I'm telling you, we facilitate the repression of these. Sometimes many of them Christians. Of course, a lot of focus has been on the Uyghur Muslims, but Christians are being persecuted in China in a very significant way. And we're facilitating that by buying these products. Many of these products coming from the supply chain that are produced through the forced labor of individuals like the Uyghurs that are in the Xinjiang province. Yeah.
And you know, 1 Timothy 6 says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And so we always talk about that in a negative way, but we can use that to our benefit because these companies may not respond to morality, but they will respond to the bottom line. If they start losing money, I think that could influence them.
It can. And of course, Richard, I know you know there's another aspect of this because you guys are involved in a lot of this. Is looking at the states in these states that are passing election reform legislation. There's about 38 states, over 260 different bills that have been moving their way through. And we need to be involved at the state level. In fact, now more than ever, because the state legislature is really the firewall around our freedoms to a left-leaning, aggressive federal government. We saw this back during the Barack Obama years. We're back here again. And we need to be active at the state level.
Well, and you know, those state legislators in Georgia, they need to know that there are millions of people behind them and that agenda actually has a lot of support because these big corporations and the leftist media have a way of creating the opposite appearance. So boycotting Coke and Delta and all that other stuff is one way of getting that message across.
And as you said, also speaking to these legislators and governors and encouraging them to do the right thing, like Governor Kemp of Georgia, who said, we're not backing down. We're going to protect our rights. This is the right thing to do. And so, you know, he said, Coca-Cola, all the woke corporations, you can bring it on, but we're not backing down. And so, you know, if you live in Georgia, obviously you ought to be speaking, you know, contacting the governor's office, thanking him for standing for election integrity. But quite frankly, if no matter where you're at in the country, he's really at the tip of the spear right now. And so you ought to be praying for him and encouraging him in this stand.
And Tony, I also heard that this Raphael Warnock that was elected to the Senate from Georgia, wasn't that just filling a vacancy in the Senate? And so is that position up for election this year?
I don't think it's, I think it's 2022, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, but
it is, it's not a full term, it's a short term.
Okay, so that these election laws could change the Senate for sure if we could just get an honest election.
Let me say something controversial.
You never say anything controversial.
I usually avoid controversy. But look, in all seriousness, let me just go back and reframe what we're facing here. This is all about building a narrative for the left so that they can eliminate what has been in place for over 100 years, this legislative filibuster that requires 60 votes. You know, it used to be a supermajority. It used to be three quarters. It is 60 votes to proceed to legislation. Now, there's a reason for that, and the historians will tell you Mitch McConnell's done a great job in his floor speeches, basically laying out the fact that he uses the illustration, the metaphor that it is the saucer of the teacup. You know, it's when the tea spills over into the saucer, it cools, and it provides some stability, because if you think about it, if you could change all of these laws simply with 50 votes. And whoever controls the Senate, it'd be like a ping pong match going back and forth. And we're already seeing this with a lot of the legislative, or rather the executive orders that the president does when you have a change of administration. For instance, Mexico City, you know, the Republicans put Mexico City in place, which is a prohibition against taxpayer funding of abortion overseas. Democrats come in, they repeal it. And I've heard from some that I deal with internationally that, you know, we're just back and forth between administrations. Just think if everything was like that, there would be no stability. America could not be relied upon by our allies, and we would be like a drunken sailor. And so what the Senate does by having this higher threshold is it means you have to reach a consensus in order to get there. Mm-hmm. They want to eliminate that, so that they can ram through H.R. 1, federalizing the elections, the Equality Act, which will torpedo religious freedom in this country. And that's just the beginning. Now, we don't have another election for 2 years, but they hold the majority only because they have the vice president of the United States, which gives them 51 votes. So it's 51-50 with the vice president voting. That is a very tenuous majority.
And plus,
we can't change it. We can't change it.
They do have a couple of Democrats, at least one I can think of, who is somewhat rogue compared to the Democrats, and he doesn't always go along with them. So that 50-50 may not hold up.
Yep. Well, Joe Manchin from West Virginia is more of a moderate. They don't have many of those left. Yep. But I tell you what, we just need to pray that God would take out would take the majority away from them. Mm-hmm. While we can't do it in the next 2 years, you know, he can. And if they're going to ram all these things through, we just need to pray that God brings chaos, conflict, and gridlock on our nation's capital so this cannot advance.
And let me ask you about the Equality Act. The House passed that, and I haven't heard much about it. Are they waiting until hopefully they can remove this filibuster to try and ram that through? Or what's the status of that?
Yeah, that's exactly what is happening, is it requires the 60-vote threshold, and they don't have that. They don't have any Republican co-sponsors on this bill. Susan Collins was a co-sponsor last time. She is not this time. It is very unlikely that they could get 10 Republicans. They might pick up a few. I doubt they get 10. And so they are trying to, that's what all this lying is about. This is why Joe Biden is lying, okay? I'm saying that intentionally because he's lying. And the American people need to know this. We need to pray for him because he's a liar. And he is lying about what happened in Georgia to facilitate the narrative so that they can destroy the legislative filibuster, this barrier for all of this garbage that they want to pass. You know, the left wants to take issue with what I said about his policy agenda. Well, I'm going to say it again so they can take issue with me on your program.
Yep.
His legislative agenda comes from the pit of hell.
Amen. I
right?
agree.
That's all of this stuff that he's pushing. That's where it's coming from. And so, look, they want to eliminate this filibuster so that they can push it through. That is what all of this is about.
Tony, what is it about H.R. 1 that's such so alarming and concerning?
Well, let's talk about, let me use an example, California. You know, California was a state that actually gave us Ronald Reagan. You know, some of your older viewers will remember Ronald Reagan, who was the governor of California, and up until Donald Trump was one of the most conservative presidents that we had had, did a great job. And he came from California. California used to be a conservative state. It began trending liberal. And then once the liberals got the majority, they changed the laws. They got a supermajority, actually, and they changed the laws to protect that supermajority. That's why in California, if you remember back in 2018, we were in the election, and all of a sudden, the Republicans lost the majority in the House because about, I think it was like 8 seats in California just miraculously flipped and became Democrat. Well, there was something that they had put in place through their election laws there, which was vote harvesting. Yeah. Where people could go out and knock on doors, hand a ballot, so to speak, get it signed and take it back. There was they broke the chain of custody in many cases over the ballots. And that's just one example. They changed many of the laws to preserve their majority. That's what the Democrats are doing with H.R. 1. They would actually make voter harvesting legal throughout the entire country. They would usurp the rights of the state for voter ID laws, registration purpose. I mean, all of the stuff that the states are doing right now to protect election integrity, they would eliminate. And they would put in place those policies that would help them manipulate election outcomes as they did. Now, I want to say something here that many people talk about, and some people will probably email in about this when I say the predominant problem in the November election was not fraud. All right, there was fraud.
There's I
fraud
might email election. In about that. I thought there was a lot of fraud.
Well, it was not fraud that was the majority of the problem. The problem was the fact that you had, number one, you had individuals that were not authorized by their state constitutions changing the voting procedures because of the coronavirus. Those were what a lot of the legal cases were about, where, for instance, you had the voting hours were extended. You had ballots that were taken in by mail that normally were not. You had ballots sent out, which were not, they didn't have in place the processes to process those. Now, you also had, for instance, in many states, Philadelphia, for instance, you had a grant that was given to that state by Mr. Zuckerberg, who gave about $350 million to a nonprofit that put up grants, 2,500 grants to different election areas. And they were selective. They were selective to where they would get the vote that they wanted. So in Philadelphia, I think they gave, $8 or $10 million, which was more than the annual budget of the election commission there in Philadelphia. They went out, knocked on doors, delivered ballots, took those ballots in. They did legal vote harvesting. Now, the people who voted did not commit fraud, but the manipulation of the system resulted in irregularities that came out. So that's the difference between that. Mm-hmm. That's also an issue in Georgia, where the same nonprofit that Zuckerberg gave money to placed 350 ballot boxes in the state of Georgia. Guess where they were? In places where they would get the vote that they wanted. This was another issue in the law that Georgia passed. They didn't have a law that allowed for ballot boxes. And so that's where this nonprofit came in and gave money and set these things up. And it wasn't even within their law. So what Georgia did in this election reform law is they allowed for voting boxes, but it's under a strict structure so that it is done legally throughout the entire state.
And I also heard that they were very strategic in doing this so that they not only selected these places where they could manipulate the vote, but then if it got challenged, they would have liberal judges that would not listen to the cases, and that definitely happened.
Yeah.
Well, so, Tony, is this effort to undo the filibuster rule, is that scheduled for a vote anytime soon?
No, it's not something that comes up for a vote. It's a rule that the members can change. This is, you'll hear a lot of messaging on this, because what's happened over the last few years, we've seen some changes. The Democrats first changed it as it pertained to district judge nominations, where there used to be the same threshold that was, it wasn't historically in place, but they kind of put it in place. And so the Democrats eliminated that. Well, then the Republicans eliminated that when it came to the Supreme Court nominations. And that's why we saw Donald Trump succeed in getting so many picks onto the court. Now, this legislative filibuster, which predates those things and has been a part of the Senate, I think, from the beginning, they want to eliminate that. That would be a rule change that they could do at any time. That would be the majority party would call that up and change the rules. And, of course, it takes just a majority to change those rules. But Mitch McConnell is warning that if they do that, don't think that the Republicans, when they retake the majority, will change it back. And so then you get into what I said earlier. You're going to have these policies that the Democrats put in place. People are going to demand Republicans pledge to undo them. And I guarantee you, if they eliminate the filibuster, we're going to be first in line for all the Republicans, all conservatives, pledging to undo everything the Democrats do in the wake of the elimination of the filibuster.
Do you think that there's any chance that all of the Democrats will stand and vote against the filibuster, or will there be, like Joe Manchin, that will rebel at it?
Well, you have Senator Sinema from Arizona and Senator Manchin from West Virginia that have publicly said that they would not support the elimination of the filibuster. But the pressure is immense. I mean, that's why you see all these corporate companies that are leaning, you know, on states like Georgia, and they're also privately leaning on many of these elected officials. So I pray for them that they would stand and remain consistent to their pledge. But at the end of the day, I don't know how much pressure they can take. I hope they will stand. I pray that they stand. But we cannot ignore this threat to our republic, and it is a threat.
And of course, you know, we got the liberal media that is just presenting one side of the issue. They've censored Twitter and all of these kind of things. I know that you were close to President Trump. Do you have any inside information? Is he going to put forth a social media platform? Is he actually working on that?
I've heard that. I actually have not spoken to him, but I've heard from those that are working with him that is something that he is considering. Look, I think, you know, the way forward for Christians is that we have to be very wise where we get our information. We need to be, you know, creating community, whether that's, you know, online, like what you're doing right here tonight, is that we've got to begin creating community where we can share truth, we can give an answer to these issues from a biblical perspective and help people make sense of them. Look, we've got to turn off the media, the mainstream media. I'm telling you, they're lying just as much as the politicians. They have an agenda. It's very, very clear. They have an agenda. Now, I have an agenda. You have an agenda. And I'm very open about my agenda. My agenda is to advance the kingdom of God and to help believers walk in an integrated fashion where they integrate their faith with their public walk. That's my agenda. And so I make no bones about it. I've never hidden that agenda. I've always been very open about that agenda. The left, not so much so about their agenda, although they're becoming more open. And when they tell us what their agenda is, making it very clear, like what we've seen here in the last couple of years, we need to respond. And part of that is by saying, okay, that's your agenda. I want no part of it.
Yeah. It's propaganda is all it is. It's not news at all.
Absolutely. Well, Tony, I'm looking at the headlines, and you know, it looks like there is some really good stuff happening too, and that when the church does come together and get involved, we can make a difference. I know out in California, they had a radical bill that was proposed that would prohibit pro-life people from being police officers. I'm sure you saw that headline, and I think they killed that. Are you familiar with that story?
I am. I was actually out in California. That was introduced shortly before we did our Stand Courageous Men's Conference out there. And it would have prohibited even police officers, you know, people from being police officers if they were associated with a church, if they were pro-life. And so I think, you know, people weighed in on that. That was one of those, you know, far left pieces of legislation. But we can't afford to be dismissive of those things anymore. We need to pounce on them with all four and speak truth, because, you know, many times what's going to happen, and increasingly so as we become a more secular society, is that our silence will be considered that we're accepting it, that we will acquiesce to it. And so we cannot be silent.
And also, could you speak to this? We share all the bad stuff that's happening, but also we try and be positive. And really, during the 2020 elections in California, they picked up a lot of conservative seats. And you know these details all across the nation. I mean, there was a number of states that flipped to being more conservative.
Well, this trend has been happening since 2010, and this goes back to, you know, Barack Obama pushing Obamacare through the legislature. I'll never forget this, having a dinner one night with a Blue Dog Democrat a Blue Dog Democrat, they don't exist anymore, but those are Democrats who were socially conservative, maybe fiscally more populist. They're gone. The Democratic Party is in the hands of the leftists now. But I said to him as we were having dinner, I said, doesn't Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats realize they're going to lose the majority? Because the Democrats were in the majority. They had won the majority in 2006. They had it. And he said, yes, they know that they'll lose it. But they know that if they pass Obamacare, they will fundamentally change America, and the Republicans will not change it back. Well, there was a lot of truth in that statement. They did lose the majority, and the Republicans have not changed it back, and they did fundamentally change America. We came one vote from reversing that with John McCain failing to vote correctly on that. But I do think they'll lose the majority, and they're in a worse, more politically unstable position today than they were in 2009, 2010. They've got about five seats in the House, the slimmest margin in almost 100 years that a speaker has had, a party has had. And I do think that the Republicans will retake the House in 2022. I think the Republicans have a good chance, because of the radical policies being pushed by Joe Biden and the Democrats, of retaking control of the Senate as well. But here's something, some really good news right now. And this is what you're not going to hear in the media, is what's happening at the state level. As you talked about, not just the elections, where we now have control of more state legislatures. And just in the 10 years, in 2010 to 2020, this was the result of Barack Obama and his radical agenda when he was elected, pushing abortion. We saw more pro-life legislation pass in the last 10 years than the previous 30 years combined.
Amen.
Praise God.
People are responding. The states are where action is. Now, I know we focus a lot on the federal, but we need to be engaged in the state. And that's why you have, I think it is 38 states, I think it is 39 states that has legislation right now dealing with the issue of transgenderism to one degree or another, whether it's female sports or whether it's the ban on the mutilation surgeries that they're doing. And that's the result of the Biden administration pushing this transgenderism all across America, on our military, on our schools, all the way down to the elementary level. And so states have a responsibility to push back on this and hem in the liberal leftist agenda of the Biden administration.
And let me just remind people once again that all of this pro-life legislation on the state level and the LGBTQ stuff is working its way up to the Supreme Court. And because of Trump appointing so many conservatives in the appellate courts and in the Supreme Court, we've got a very good chance of seeing those things overcome. So there's good things happening well as all of the bad.
We just have to be committed, Andrew and Richard, to stand for truth in the face of an aggressive cancel culture. We just have to get beyond the fear of a social media post that's negative. We need to get beyond the fact that we might lose a few friends temporarily. But we need to stand and speak truth, speak it in love, and speak it out of a redemptive heart. The purpose for speaking truth is so that people might come to know the truth and be made free through the author of truth, Jesus Christ. And so we can't shrink back in silence, because then people won't hear the truth. They won't be challenged with the truth. But we have to be willing to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow Christ.
And Tony, since I talked to you last, I'm not sure if you've heard, but we filed two lawsuits against the state of Colorado. They filed two lawsuits against us, gave us either two or three cease and desist orders. We had to make plans in case they came and arrested us, but we won through the court system. They ruled in favor of those two churches in New York, and our governor wrote us a letter saying, we're taking hands off. You can do whatever you want to. And we just finished up a musical this last week with 2,500 people there. And there was a few people that wore masks. They were welcome to do it if they wanted to, but nobody said a word to us. It was mostly intimidation and praise God. Just like you're saying, you stand up, we can see this thing turned around.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's take some questions here.
All right. Well, we've got some good ones coming in here. A little bit of confusion by Hurley 55 on chat wants to know, if Congress gets H.R. 1 passed in both houses, will these new state election reform laws prevent some of the destructive power grabbing that's going on in H.R. 1?
Unfortunately, no. What will happen is H.R. 1 will overturn the good reform laws that the states have passed and enacted.
That's terrible.
Yeah, because of the supremacy clause, the federal law trumps the state law.
And you know, our forefathers were smart in seeing that the states needed to be where this thing is controlled, because it's harder to take over all the states than it is just to take over the federal government.
Now, what will probably happen, Richard, I'm sure you're aware of this, that there will be lawsuits filed by state attorneys general across the country if H.R. 1 goes through. But you know how long it takes for something to get through the court system. Probably wouldn't be adjudicated before the 2022 election. They use these laws, they manipulate the outcome of the elections, and then they have control. And once they consolidate control, it becomes difficult to pry their fingers free of that chokehold they have on our republic.
Well, and not to be a sky is falling, but another really dangerous agenda item for the Democrats, Tony, you'll know about this, is the court packing plan. So if they get rid of the filibuster, then they can also pass, they can add some justices to the Supreme Court, which would give them, you know, the ability to rubber stamp just about anything they want.
And they'll add D.C. as a state. Yep. So that gives them two additional senators on the Democratic aisle, which further solidifies their control of the Senate. So, you can play out the scenario. It will not be good any way you look at it.
So is there anything that our viewers can do to help Senator Manchin and the senator from Arizona, you know, stand their ground on this filibuster?
Well, certainly if you live in West Virginia, I would encourage you to contact Senator Manchin, thank him for his public statements of supporting the legislative filibuster and encouraging him to continue in that position. Same thing with Senator Sinema in Arizona. Just encourage them to continue that stand. But I'm also going to say, look, this is out of our hands at this point. We just need to continue to pray, pray that the Lord would prohibit them from doing this. Look, we need God. We need God to move on our behalf. We need to repent as a nation of the stuff that's being pushed through. Just look at what the Biden administration has pushed through. Now, we're not even talking legislation yet, but the whole transgender agenda we mentioned a few moments ago, he's put that onto the military. He's put it onto elementary and secondary schools. He put it on our colleges. Look at the issue of abortion. Even, not just the repeal, the overturn of the Mexico City policy that prohibits funding in foreign policy, but even the Hyde Amendment that was eliminated in the coronavirus relief bill, the $2 trillion and all the money that's going to flow to Planned Parenthood and abortion clinics. This is atrocious, and we need to be praying that God would move in our country, and that those that wanted, I pray for the God's blessing on Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as they yield themselves to him, as he praying that he would turn their hearts as he does the rivers of water. But if they refuse the truth and go against the truth, I pray that, look, they would be confused, they would have conflict, and gridlock would settle upon Washington, D.C.
Amen. I agree. Yeah. There's a time to pray against evil, even if it's people are willfully participating.
100%. You know, David would pray that God would turn the enemy against themselves, and we need to be following that example. Well, here's a question, Tony, from Ellie on chat, and she is interested in hearing what Family Research Council has been successful in getting accomplished.
Well, we actually give you one example. We've been working very closely with the Arkansas legislature and got through the process today. Unfortunately, the governor vetoed it. It was the SAFE Act. It was ending surgical experimentation on children, the transgender. It simply says that, look, transgender surgeries cannot be done before the age of 18. They can't be funded with tax dollars, nor can insurance companies be forced to pay for them. It went overwhelmingly through the legislature. The governor vetoed it today, but the legislature takes it up tomorrow, and I believe they're going to override the governor. So if you live in Arkansas, this would be a good time to contact your state legislator and your state senator and encourage them to override Governor Hutchison's veto of the SAFE Act. That's one example. We've been working in other states with legislation similar to that. With the previous administration, we worked very closely with them on religious freedom issues. We worked actually in the first couple of iterations of the virus relief bills to make sure that churches and religious nonprofits were treated like everybody else when they were forced to close down, that they had access to the same benefits that other companies did. So we've got a long history of working on religious freedom issues, pro-life issues. We did a ton of pro-life legislation and executive orders, primarily in policy, during the Trump administration. Of course, a lot of that being erased by the Biden administration. And Andrew, Richard, what we see happening here is educational. People, this is a teachable moment. Mm-hmm. Elections have consequences, significant consequences, and we're watching it in real time.
I was under the impression that Governor Hutchison was a Republican. Is that correct?
He is, but that doesn't necessarily mean
he vetoed that bill.
Yeah.
He did.
That's hard to believe.
We've got a question from a viewer here pointing out that he graduated from Bob Jones University, too. So
Hutchison?
Yeah. I can't verify that myself, but...
Well, we've run into this before in Arkansas. That is the home of Walmart, and Walmart has joined the crowd of woke corporations, and they leaned heavily a few years ago on the governor to kill their religious, or to significantly modify their Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So corporate America, again, is leaning in on these things, and some politicians are more susceptible to that that political correct pressure, that wokeness, than others. It is positive. It's encouraging to say, though, that the legislature is much more conservative, and a lot of conservatives. And this is why elections matter. And this is why, Andrew and Richard, I would encourage, there's some folks watching tonight that they're worked up about this, and they should be. You know, there's a righteous indignation that should come upon us at some point. And I think we're there, just as Jesus, you know, turned over the tables in the temple because of the mockery that was done to his father's name and to the house that was by his name. And I think there's a time, it's not about us, not about our reputation, not about what people say about us, but rather it's about God's truth. And so I think more and more Christians need to step forward and run for office. Look, Amen. Wonderful men and women of faith that are in state legislatures. And we've talked about this before. There are more believers in Congress than in any time in modern history. These are men and women of deep, abiding faith. Now, they're not in the majority yet, but they're very, very close. So we need to be stepping into the arena. And like I was pointing out in the Arkansas legislature, many, many men and women of deep, abiding faith are there. And that's why I feel pretty confident there's a good chance they're going to override the governor's veto, because Arkansas is one of six states in which you only have to have a majority to override the governor's veto, and he's been overridden before.
Oh, good.
So this would not be a first.
That's great. Well, you know, Richard and I just had an hour-long meeting today about how do we get people involved in local government, and our Woodland Park mayor died, and so there's a vacancy, and tomorrow I'm making an announcement in our school telling the people that, man, you need to get in and run for mayor.
Yeah.
And so what
Maybe
you're
you
saying...
Maybe you need to run, Andrew.
Oh, no, sir. I've got more to do than what three people could do. I can't be mayor.
But you're right. We need to... Look, we've got... Look at in almost every major city in America, we have mega churches that, you know, reach a lot of people. Now, they need to be... Those that are preaching the Word need to preach the whole counsel of God, and part of that is being salt and light, and it's impacting the community around you. And I think... Look, every church ought to have local elected officials
Amen.
In their church, people Amen. That they know, that they've mentored, they've discipled, running for office to influence. And here's another thing, is those pastors and churches need to stand behind these individuals when they run for office.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I was just had the pleasure of last Friday spending a little bit of time with David Barton and Tim Barton, and they pulled out this old book that had Charles Finney's messages in it. And they opened it right up to a page where Finney, you know, it's on lessons of revival or how to have revival. And one of the things he said there was that it's that if there's going to be revival, Christians must take right ground in regard to politics in a country such as ours.
They showed that to me, and it goes on to say that it is sin if you don't take a ground in politics.
Yeah.
They called it sin.
Well, Tony, I'm sure you'd agree with this, but it seems like a lot of pastors for many years now in America have felt like, oh, I don't have any role in politics. I'm just going to, quote unquote, preach the Bible. But this hands-off approach has allowed for the moral decay of our country.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have any comments on that?
I have plenty of comments, not enough time to get to all of them, but I'll give you a few.
Yeah.
Look, I think one of the things that I think would be the most impactful for our country would be for every pastor in America to put his congregation on a systematic through the Bible program, reading chronologically through the Bible or reading through the books of the Bible, however you want to do it, but then also preaching along with them systematically through the scripture and not avoiding the application of the Word of God to the present circumstances in which we live. When people begin to see that the Word of God speaks to every issue that we deal with in principle, they begin to realize that this is not something just for Sundays, but this is a guidebook for life. And pastors need to model that. And they need to preach to these issues and not avoid them. You know, this whole transgender issue. Look, we don't need to avoid that. Jesus in Matthew chapter 19 says, have you not read from the beginning that God created them male and female?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't stop there. He says, that's why a man will leave his mother and father and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one. So he speaks about gender. There's two. And he speaks about marriage. It's a union of a man and woman. Now, if the cancel culture wants to deplatform a church because they preach that, then so be it.
Amen.
But we can't apologize nor back away from the Word of God. God said it. That's what it is. And if we're going to follow him, if we're going to follow Jesus Christ, we have to agree with what he said and not be ashamed of what he has said.
Amen. Jesus made it very clear that God made male and female, and the Democrats created all of the other genders.
That's right. Well, one more question, Tony. How do these Democrats, how these liberals and socialists, how have they gotten so much influence in the boardrooms of the corporations of this country? Do you have any insights on that?
I do. It's been a long march through the corporate boardrooms, just like it's been a long march through our institutions. They're a part of the institutions. And one is it's by our neglect in large part because, you know, we're involved in other things. We're involved in raising our kids, our families, going to church and those sort of things. And we've neglected the influence that we need to have in the broader culture, the salt and the light we're to be. It's a very intentional strategy where they would go in and they would start in the HR departments and they would then bring in people of like minds. And I talked to a corporate CEO of one of the largest corporations in America one time. It was after he retired. And I said, you know, look, what's going on there? And he says, so many of the CEOs are white men who are being held captive in their own boardrooms by affinity groups that they create to kind of satisfy the various special interest groups. You know, they have their they have an interest group for these big corporations have these affinity groups for almost everything, except usually Christians. And so then they begin to lobby for more and more, like Gay Pride Day and you know, rainbow cookies and all these other things that they push for, money to Planned Parenthood. And so the corporate CEOs, they may not agree with it. Now, some do. I think you see the Delta CEO is left of center. I think Coca-Cola has a new CEO that's left of center. So some of those guys willfully do it, but others feel they're held hostage. They do it. They don't have the backbone to stand up to it. We need to be applying a pressure too. And you know, as we get into, we shouldn't avoid corporate America. We can get in there. We need to stand, face the cancel culture, but not relent to their pressure.
Well, Tony, we've just got 2 minutes left, but I would like you to let them know how they could get hold of Family Research Council, what kind of resources and things you have available to be able to make a difference.
Well, we have a lot of resources at our website, frc.org. Also, right now, on some of the present issues we were talking about tonight, they can actually find a quicker link at tonyperkins.com. We have some of the resources from today's program with action items on where they can go to make a difference and let their voice be heard. But here's one thing I would say. Look, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying because one thing that prayer does is it keeps us focused on God and His power. It keeps us from becoming anxious. And when we become anxious, we sometimes get more of an edge than we need to have. We need to remember our mission. Our mission is to set the captives free with the truth of God. We can't back away from that mission. We can't shrink back. We can't be silent. But we also cannot become hardened in this battle that is only going to intensify. So we need to pray. We need to be in the Word of God. And then we need to stand unyielding for the truth of God's Word.
And let me mention that I get the Washington Watch from you every day emailed to me, and it's just chock full of information. And I guess that's on your website?
It is. In fact, I'm running a little late today. As soon as I get off the program with you, I'm going to get it finished, so you're going to be getting it a little late tonight.
All right. Well, I appreciate you doing this for us. Also, we want to thank all of you for watching, and we want to thank CTN. They carry this on a number of their stations in their network for us. And again, we appreciate you, CTN, and everything you're doing for us. And praise God, we're making a difference. Tony is making a difference. I've been with him in Washington. I've seen their facility. I've been with Mitch McConnell and Mike Pompeo, and he has relationships with all those people. And praise God, I believe we're seeing this thing turned around. So thank you for being with us, Tony. Thank all of you for being with us. God bless you. We'll see you again next Monday night for Truth and Liberty.
Join us next time for the Truth and Liberty broadcast. Find tonight's episode and related articles and links at truthandliberty.net. Truth and Liberty is viewer supported. If you'd like to help us continue our live casts, you can make a donation at truthandliberty.net